Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is taken from Luke 17, and it's verses 11 to 19, titled Jesus Heals 10 Men with Leprosy. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 men cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord.
The All In series, and here we are looking at thankfulness today. What happens when God asks you or me to be all in our faith? What's that really look like, you know? And what happens when God asks you to trust in him and to trust him with the most precious priorities over your life? Because, brothers and sisters, that's what God does ask of us. Will we trust him with the priorities of our lives? You know, so over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at people and their character, but now we move to Christ's call for what does it mean to be all in. History speaks into our tomorrow. It really does. Over the past few weeks, I've talked about faith, courage, loyalty, integrity, and more. A common thread in these is the historical biblical stories that inform us of our future and our lives today. Today, we've got a group of sick, rejected men of society, and they inform us of how we need to show thankfulness to God for his hand being at work. To be a leper in Jesus' time would have been a horrific thing. You weren't allowed to be part living in the town or the village where they were. You had no form of income. And so once you were shunned and put out into these, you ended up in these leper colonies or communities of 10 or 12 lepers. And you would hope that your family members would bring food to you until at last you'd breathe your last breath at some stage, be that probably a very shortened life. And so here you were, unable to be cared for. See, your family couldn't do much more than come and leave food at a distance for you, because to actually come in communication with you or contact with you could mean that they could catch leprosy as well, and the cycle would go on. This is a wicked thing. People were shamed by having leprosy in their family. People who had leprosy had no way of connecting with God or the church. I mean, the silliness of the rules, and I get it in a health sense, the silliness was that you couldn't actually go and talk to a priest or be prayed for healing or anointed, because to be touched would mean that you'd be unclean as a priest, and even worse, if you caught the leprosy, you could never be it. Just the rejected of society. You know, one of my favourite passages in the scriptures, and I'm going to start with this, is "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Philippians 4:13. However, in the tough times when I most am needing Christ's strength, I do not always notice, and I don't always notice God's strength in me. And I certainly at times have not acknowledged it when God's power has been working through me. Then when the tough times end, our thanks is sometimes an afterthought at best. You know, when we've been through these really tough seasons and we've walked horrible journeys sometimes, and we come out of the other side and I think we almost assume God knows that we're thankful. There's this assumption, I think, that, well, God knows we're thankful. I was praying to him through it, so he should know I'm thankful. But do we actually stop and pray and be thankful? I think this comes down to our view of God in some regards, because we have this immanent and transcendent view of God, the transcendent God, the God of the heavens, the immanent, the God who is closest. And often in our lives we see God as the closest and best friend in the world, and at other times he is the mighty sovereign king of the heavens. And it's when things are often at our worst, we feel a bit like Job, and we talked about him a couple of weeks back, abandoned and doing life by ourselves. But often that's our perspective speaking and not reality. When we feel that we've been abandoned and we're doing life by ourselves and we don't think that God is with us, it's actually God is probably more with us than what we've ever been. I told a friend during one of his hard seasons, it's easier to see God as transcendent and distant in the heavens. So we do not have to be personal and not be confronted as much by what is going on in our lives. So when we are going through these tough times, oh, it's the God of the heavens. Because how could an immanent God, a God who is here now, with me right now, how could he be allowing this to happen? So no matter your view on your relationship with God, we must always show respect, reverence and honour due to his loving works, his saving grace and the mighty hand of care of his protection that does come upon us. But we've got to make sure our perspective is right. So it makes me ponder sometimes, when was the last time that you stopped and thanked God? Now for some of us it's every day, but for others it may have been a week, a month, a year that we've actually intentionally stopped and thanked God. You know, in church just about 8 weeks ago, from when this sermon was is being shown to you, there was a girl in our church who stood up and told of the good news of how she's had stage 4 cancer twice and how the doctors are baffled because here she is, clean, in remission. And I stopped the church and I said to the church, you know, church, let's just stop and thank God for this, because we've been praying for this sister of ours for a number of years. And we just had to stop and pray and give thanks to God for his hand at work in her life and in the lives of us as a congregation. To see the answer to a prayer is amazingly beautiful. But it could have been quite different. I could have just gone, oh, isn't that good? Thanks, God. And we just move on. It's almost like, oh, yeah, we expected that to happen. No. We prayed that it would happen. We hoped that it would happen. And our faith was that it would happen. But when it comes to fruition, our faith is increased and strengthened, brothers and sisters. And that we give thanks to God for. Yeah, you've got to be intentional. At the end of the service, one of the people came up to me and said, I was absolutely gobsmacked when you stopped and gave thanks to God. Because I actually had not thought about doing that before. And I went, yeah. Which is why this sermon is now part of it. So, when was that last time you thanked God? When God does things for us, he does so to bless us, but not only us as individuals, but us as a society, and to show his great love for all. He does not do it for a vote of thanks, but just because he loves us. However, when we stop and thank God or someone for what they've done, it changes our relationship to a deeper level. So when we thank our parents, it changes our relationship. When we thank our friends, when we thank work colleagues, when we thank people in the church, when we thank people in a football club or a rugby club or a sporting event, when we thank people at the train station, when we thank the checkout person at Coles or Woolies, when we thank these people, it changes things. It actually brings a connection. And I think that our connection with God is increased, and it takes our relationship with God to a deeper level when we thank God for his hand being at work in our lives. So here we are, and we're just going to jump into the passage. When Jesus did this miracle for the 10 lepers, he did not do it for praise, thanks, and adoration. He did it because he loved these people and he wanted to show God's love for them and the world as well. They had cried out, Master, have pity on us. And he did. Master. They've heard about Jesus. They know about Jesus. And from a distance, they cry out. They cry because they Jesus is their only hope. The priests are not their hope. Society's not their hope. And the grave is their only point that they can see. And so for them and their lives, they turn round and cry out, Master, have pity on us. They had hope he could heal them as they petitioned him, and when he did so, they realized they had a miracle performed on their lives. And here's what happens. They go to the priest and show themselves to the priest to make sure that they are now deemed clean. And then 9 of them keep walking on. And the other one, this is what it says, one of them, in verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. Not Jesus. He praises God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And ready? There's a hyphen. And he was a Samaritan. He's of the old North Kingdom that have the South Kingdom, the Jewish people blame the North Kingdom for all the woes that have taken place with oppressions. He is part of the defiled group. They don't even worship God the right way on the right mountain and in the right place. And oh, there's all these things. And he's a Samaritan. He is the relative who is despised and rejected for what? I mean, wow. Nine of them. So Jesus is on the border of Samaria and where he is, and nine of them go running off, and one of them comes back to say thank you. Our focus on God is important. See, when our focus is on God, our first response is not to keep going and think I'll return later with thanks and praise. It should be I'll stop here and give thanks now for his hand being at work. Folks, we need to intentionally stop and reflect and give thanks to God for his hand at work in our lives and the lives of other people. I can relate to you a number of testimonies as to when God has done things that have made me thankful. I store them up. I store them up because when I have a really terrible season or a terrible moment, I draw on those and remind myself that God has been with me in some of the most terrible times. And I wonder if sometimes we miss this precious fact that God has interacted with us. It's not just fate. It's not just good luck. It's not just, mystery. It is God himself has interacted with us. So when I hear Christians moaning that God doesn't do anything in their lives, I ask, were you thankful in all the times that he did do something earlier in your life? Or have you forgotten it? Do you not look for it today? Do you think that God's gone silent on you? Because God doesn't go silent. We turn off to him. I think there's a difference between assumed love and assumed thankfulness, because I think there's a lot of Christians running their lives on assumed love and assumed thankfulness. Saying to your spouse, you know, words like, thank you, forgive me, can I help you, how are you? All verbalized methods of saying, I love you. But too often, I think we have an assumed love. They know I'm sorry. They know I appreciate them. They know I'm here if they need help. The assumed versus the reality. The reality of what is love. And it is so important not just to run your life on assumed love and assumed thankfulness. The action of stepping forward displays an intentional love for the other people. It's the same with God. This story of Jesus' interaction with 10 lepers is not here for no purpose at all in the Bible. It's just, someone was writing it down. Luke was writing it down. Went, here's a good yarn. Let's throw this in. No, nothing's just a good yarn. Everything has a purpose and a place in the scriptures. So it poses the question, why is it here? Why is this story of 10 lepers all get healed equally and only one returns and says thank you? I think it's here for two or three reasons, to be honest. Number one, Jesus heals those who have a sickness of shame and death, being leprosy. He heals them. He doesn't pick and choose and say, I'm only going to heal the Jewish ones today. Sorry, Mr. Samaritan. And so that's the second thing that we get out of this is he heals all. All equally. The third thing I think he does is the foreigner or the Samaritan can recognize when the Almighty has touched their life and they're in awe of it and they're reverent. You see, folks, I think we in the church sometimes think that we own God. If there's any owning to be done, God owns us, because that's just how it works. But this foreigner, this one who's not even for the Jewish people, meant to recognize God. He recognizes that the Almighty has touched his life and he is in awe of it and he is reverent. And the fourth reason I think this story is in the scriptures is this. Thankfulness is a decision of gratitude. It's a decision. You know, brothers and sisters, we've all been, we should all have gratitude in our lives constantly, to be honest, for what Jesus has done and continues to do in forgiving our sins. And thankfulness is a decision of gratitude. There's an intentional engagement, and it's a must. This concept is from where we start our lives again through Christ, this intentional engagement, right? Forgiveness is on offer with God 24/7. However, if we do not intentionally engage this concept of God's love and forgiveness, mercy and grace being on offer and step forward into it to receive it, then we miss out on the blessing of forgiveness and eternal life. You can't just sit there and say, oh yeah, God's got this gift for me. I haven't done anything with it. I haven't accepted it. But it's just, we need to intentionally engage God. That's freedom of choice. We've talked about that in other sermons. As the lepers went from physical death to life, so forgiveness leads to our healing of our souls from death to life. This story of the lepers going from this position of death, because that's really their only direction was death, and now they've got life, is the same with us, with our spiritual lives. We are dead because of our sin. We are living in a world of death because of our sin. But Christ has made us alive again. The response to a healed leper should be no different to us with a healed and restored soul. Thankfulness and gratitude. I struggle with the notion that you can become a Christian without thanking God for Christ Jesus himself and his death and resurrection on the cross. So back to my 10 lepers, now healed. The one who was thankful to God, the one who recognized God, the one who gave testimony to the disciples who wrote down this story was a rejected child of Israel's history. One who was supposedly did not know God, could not know God, and was actually abhorrent according to the Jewish people because of their family traditions and everything else. But here's the thing, this story also proves another point to us. Jesus came for all. Not just for some, but for all. He came for those who came from Jewish backgrounds, those who came from Samaritan backgrounds, those who came from Syrophoenician backgrounds, Roman, Greek, Medes. They're all there. He came for them all. And I think it's really important for us to remember today, Jesus continues to come for all. I think thankfulness in church is a really intentional thing to do. I always try my opening prayer to be thankful to God for the new day that we have, the answered prayers, the people he's brought into our lives and so much more. Thankfulness is not the action of attending church, but the attitude of gratefulness and gratitude given words in love back to God. Let me just say that again. Thankfulness is not the action of attending church. Just because you turn up at church doesn't mean you're thankful. But thankfulness is the attitude of gratefulness and gratitude given words in love back to God. Beautiful. So are you all in? Are you all in with thankfulness? I want to encourage us all to take some moments of thankfulness to God for all he has done. And you know, maybe if you need your spiritual life recharged or supercharged, it needs to the ingredient of thankfulness and an acknowledgement of who God is. Stand in awe and fear of God. This is an interesting thought, isn't it? Stand in awe and fear of God. Being in awe of God refers to having a deep reverence or respect and the wonder for the wonder of God's greatness and holiness, a concept often described as a healthy fear or a holy fear. So when the scriptures ask us to stand in awe and fear of God, it's a healthy fear or a holy fear. This awe or this isn't about being terrified of God, no, but rather about being so profoundly moved by his presence and word that it inspires worship, humility, and a desire to honor him and a commitment to his values and righteousness. This deep reverence for God is seen as a foundational virtue of our faith, leading to wisdom, maturity, and freedom. The awe and the fear of God then leads us to realizing we have nothing else to fear, as God is in us all. He's through us and he's surrounding us and fighting our fear battles of this world and our brokenness for us. So, what can you thank God for this week? Can you take some time and look back over your last years maybe and think about some of the prayers that you've prayed and that it may have been answered? Prayers of hope for new beginnings, prayers of restoration, prayers of healing for friends and family, prayers for situations that are surrounding me. Look for answers and be thankful. Be intentional in your thankfulness. Because brothers and sisters, I'm going to say, when you bless God, he blesses you. Now, I'm not saying, oh, I gave money, so God's going to give me money. That's not it at all. I just think that when you bless God and say, God, I want to say thank you, I want to bless you because you've answered my prayers. Here's what the blessing in return is. Your faith is increased. Your connection becomes deeper and more rich with God. And your understanding of who the Almighty is becomes larger. I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it's a beautiful thing to be thankful to God for all he has done. Amen.